baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
My guy, you look out the window here. It is snowing. It's 20 below in Alberta, but San Diego, it's baseball season, buddy. The winter meetings in the heart of them. In the heart of the winter meetings there, the GMs are all gathered in San Diego, and we're starting to see some movement.
What temperature is it for you right now? Because it was minus 34 for me in Edmonton this morning.
Yeah, we're a little warmer than that here in Calgary. I think it's minus 22 or something like that. Still cold, you know?
Rub it in, Mr. Sunshine.
Yeah, that's right. Good afternoon, I suppose, to everybody here. This is The Walk-Off. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. It is a Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon kind of day. We have combed through all of our comments from YouTube. You can always get a hold of us on Twitter at Walk-Off Podcast, on Instagram, The Walk-Off Podcast, and join the Discord. All sorts of baseball talk and Blue Jays talk going on there. The link for that is in the show notes, and we get a bunch of our comments from there as well. Lots to talk about, so let's get into it here. Before we get too deep, I do want to just take a real quick second here off the top and mention that from Blue Jays Central, Joe Siddle, former Montreal Expos catcher and just analyst extraordinaire, if you will, is going to be joining the show again tomorrow morning. So we are hopeful that maybe something happens in the meantime so we can actually talk something. But if not, we'll at least get into all sort of speculation with Mr. Siddle. Feel free to drop your questions for him in the comments. We'll go through those. You can also join the Discord. Great way to get any questions to our guests. We even have a little subsection there in our Discord where you can actually find out when we have guests coming up and get your questions in early. Okay, buddy, let's get into it.
All right. First one comes in from David on Instagram. Sent me a tweet from Molly Knight. I'll just read the tweet first and then I'll get to his comments. So Molly Knight tweeted out that the Padres have offered Trey Turner at least $41 million more than the Phillies did. But he chose...
Who paid him a ton?
What was it? $300 million over 300 years?
Yeah, it was over $300 million over 11 years. Yeah.
So David says, where are the Padres getting all this money? Don't they already have $300 million invested in a shortstop? Yeah.
I don't know how to answer that, David. Honestly, it is mind-blowing that they were in on Trey Turner. It is mind-blowing that they outbid the Phillies. It goes to show you, though, once you get over $300 million, sometimes playing with your old friend Bryce Harper is worth more than $41 million, I suppose. I don't know. Maybe you look at the tax rate in California and it's a little bit more than Philadelphia. I don't know, but that is a lot of money to leave on the table there. And let's be serious, man. That Trey Turner deal is, I don't know how you feel about it. So I want to preface this with saying Trey Turner's incredible. He is one of the best players in all of baseball, but I'm having a really hard time, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm having a really hard time wrapping my head around 11 years for a shortstop, a 29-year-old shortstop. This deal takes him to the age of 40. No trade clause. This is a guy who relies on speed, is an okay defender, and has a chase problem with an average bat speed. I mean, you would feel like this is a guy who just at 35 is going to have a sharp decline, and you have five more years, $150 million on the books with the guy. I mean, he's a phenomenal player, but wow, dude.
This is a team who is, I mean, got as close as it gets to the World Series without winning it. This has
Flags
to be
fly forever move.
yeah, like we are going to try and win 4 out of the next 5 years. And then after that, we're going to be an ugly rebuild.
Yeah. But
I like the move, honestly. I do.
I think that it's an excellent move for the Phillies short term anyways. How does adding Trey Turner to an already contending team not be a good move? Like, yeah, well done, Phillies.
It is wild though that the Padres have that kind of money to spend. Like, they just went out traded for Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Last year, like, is he just gone at the end of this?
I think so. I mean, here's the truth. If they are in on a 10-year contract for, let's say, Xander Bogaerts, let's get really crazy and say they're also in on Aaron Judge. We haven't heard the Padres are in on Judge, but I mean, if you've got 300 and some million dollars to toss around, if you wanted to be, you sure the heck could be.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they look at Juan Soto as the odd guy out. And you know what? If you're Juan Soto, you probably want to go to free agency at 25 years old and test the market again.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Especially watching 29-year-old Trey Turner get over $300 million.
It's insane the kind of money that's being paid out these days. Anyways, kudos to them. Wild that the Padres are still in on it.
Yeah.
Whew. If they missed out on Trey Turner, that they got to go spend on someone else now. So,
I mean, you hear this, and I'm almost like, okay, one of the remaining three stud shortstops is going to San Diego.
What kind of confidence does this speak to towards Fernando Tatis? Well, it's Fernando Tatis Jr. This is, he's a left fielder next year.
I would say he's a left fielder next year. DHing. I mean, after he finishes his suspension, I think that ownership is really, really disappointed and peeved at Fernando. And maybe he isn't at the top of their. What's the best way to word this? My apologies here, everybody. I guess at the top of their look after, keep happy list anymore.
Oh, I was going to say he's not like in their top 9 on MySpace, but that's a
dated reference.
That's a dated reference.
Hey.
You know where I'm going with this.
No, I absolutely. I feel like, you know, they went out of their way to make him the franchise player. And I think that they are shifting that a little bit as
what do they do with him? Like that contract's untradeable, right?
I would say so at this point. I mean, you never know though, Adam. Truth is, if he comes out next year after coming back from suspension and seems to get his head right, the kid is loaded with talent. You know, one big mega year. Look at what it did for Judge.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. If he plays like a superstar and shows that he's deserving of that money, maybe he is tradable if they pay half of it or something like that.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy times. All right. Thanks for that one, David. Next one comes in from Twitter, I believe. Blue Jays for Life DM'd us and said, "Hey guys, did you hear Ross Atkins' interview with the Winter Meetings? He freaking said nothing. Quote, we could make trades. We could also pursue free agents. We have pathways to both. Are you kidding me? No crap. They better do something soon before we're screwed again this year."
Okay, so to start with here, I think at Blue Jays for Life is echoing a little bit of the sentiment of Blue Jays fans out there, which is impatience, frustration. Mm-hmm. We've watched Teoscar get traded and nothing kind of, no coinciding move to clear up the very cloudy picture we have of what directions this front office is taking right now. It's all speculative. Are they going to go out and get a center fielder? How many lefty bats are they bringing in? Are they getting one starter? Are they getting two? Are they going to continue to bolster the bullpen? We don't know. And I think that breeds comments like this. Now, from a business standpoint, I hope everyone understands why Ross Atkins does his typical GM speak, where he says a lot of words, but there's no real content within those words. And yeah, if you are hoping for the picture to be cleared up, so you at least kind of have a feeling as to what this team is doing, Ross Atkins is a very frustrating man to listen to speak. Now, there is leverage involved here. I don't think Ross Atkins tipping his hand so that fans feel better is necessarily the best way to go about playing this out. They have a lot of pathways, and I truly do believe that. I think that this front office is very good at doing their due diligence and kick all the cans every single offseason, every single year, and they have a very good feel of the landscape.
I have to believe that every single morning, Ross Atkins brews a fresh cup of coffee, sits down with Shapiro, mm-hmm. and says, "Can I please tweet out that we're going hard after Dansby Swanson?
Can I be Steve Cohen? Please."
And Shapiro's like, "No, you're an idiot. That's a terrible idea." And he goes, "But Twitter's going crazy, man. They're roasting me so hard. They just want something.
They keep calling us Shatkins.
They keep calling us Shatkins. We need faith from the Twitter community, do we not?" And then Shapiro just says, "No, of course we don't. Why would we need their support? Like, we just need to win." And Atkins is like, "Oh yeah, that's a good point. Okay, there I'll just go say nothing then." And that's basically how every morning goes, I think.
It's truly how every morning goes.
I also picture them as being roommates for some reason. I know they're both grown men with families and everything, but it just feels like a duplex situation, maybe with like a shared doorway, like a hotel room, you know, when you get like a family room and they're connected.
I like to picture bunk beds.
Oh, bunk beds. Yeah. Ross is on top of that situation.
100% Ross is on top. And 100% Ross is poking his head down. "Hey, Mark, are you still awake?"
All right. Well, this is the intro clip for sure.
You know what this does remind me of is the scene in Moneyball where Brad Pitt is talking to, what's his name now? He lost a bunch of weight. The big guy, the other star in Moneyball.
Oh, Jonas.
Yes, Jonah Hill. Thank you. Hill, Michael. Michael Rogan. Hill.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Okay, Jonah Hill. And he's it only
took us 12 minutes to get off the rails today. Look at us. That's a new record.
We're really holding it together here. And this is why the walk-off community is with us for how well we managed to stay on the rails. Okay. But
hey, rails. That's a bunk bed reference. Gotta have rails. Anyway, sorry. I need another cup of coffee.
Anyone who's ADHD is just like losing their mind right now. They're just all over the place with us. Okay. But it reminds me of the scene from Moneyball where Brad Pitt is talking with
Jonah Hill.
And he says, "I feel like you're worried about what everyone is saying. I feel like you think we need to explain ourselves to people. We don't." And that's the truth of it when it comes to the front office. And of course, Ross Atkins isn't going to tell us, the fans, anything. And I am frustrated with it, too, because nobody GM speaks like Ross Atkins. But things are happening. It's the winter meetings. There's all sorts of pathways in front of them. Look at me doing it now, right? They could get something in trade. They could get something in free agency.
You sound work for Rogers.
I'm a Rogers spy, everybody. Busted. Okay. We'll move on. Thank you so much at Blue Jays for Life. I understand the frustration and hopefully something happens. I'm right there with you.
Absolutely. All right. Next one comes in from YSF Memories. Says, "Small suggestion, can you guys post the full episode first before the clips next time? It's kind of weird, where you direct people to the full episode in the description of your clips. But then when we come, it's not even here. And this is like the third time it's happened. Isn't this supposed to be the main channel and the clips supposed to be the supplement? And then Scott Carter chimed in and said, I would also prefer that, but I was too polite to ask. Yeah, no prob, Bob. Didn't even occur to me that that would make sense to do.
Sometimes we just do things without even thinking about it here on the Walk Off, folks. And so, yeah, we appreciate the input.
Hey, just a couple of bumbling idiots doing our best. So that's a great suggestion. We're definitely going to do that. it is no extra work. It's just doing things in a different order for me. So yeah, I could totally do that. Sounds good.
Awesome.
There we go.
See, you ask and you shall receive there, folks.
We did also get like a bunch of terrible comments about how my microphone is such dog crap right now. A dog meat sandwich, I believe, is the description I read. I'm aware of it. I thought I fixed it this morning for our interview. But now I'm seeing my levels are way off. So again, I'm not an expert at what I'm doing. I apologize when the sound is terrible. I might just have to go buy a new mic. So
we're almost at that point. I know we've been very grateful and very lucky, honestly, to have such a supportive community who has helped us upgrade equipment in many different aspects. And so, the least we can do is get a new mic here when we get the opportunity. So again, appreciate all the input. We are always working on the quality of the show. I know sometimes it
believe
seems
it or
like,
not.
I know it seems like every two steps forward is one step back and believe us, it feels that way to us too. We're just a couple of boneheads, but talk to anyone who's been with us since the first year and they will tell us, oh my God, nothing can compare to how horrible that first year was for quality of sound.
There you go. All right. So, yes, we are working on it. Thank you for the feedback, as always. Okay. To Discord now. Discord, by the way, free to join. Free link in the show notes. Come hang out in the Discord.
Yeah.
So, in the Discord, there was a discussion about the potential Brian Reynolds trade. And John Morosi had a report that the Blue Jays were in discussion with the Pirates, but that either Aurelvis Martinez or Ricky Tiedemann would need to be included. So, obviously, I'm sure you and I both have strong feelings on both of those guys, as well as Brian Reynolds. Chuck says Tiedemann would be really tough to let go, but he fits the contention window now better. But Reynolds fits the contention window better right now than Tiedemann does. I think it would be a great trade partner with the Pirates, but I'm kind of with the walk-off boys, though, end of the day. I think the Pirates don't even trade him, even if it's in their own best interest.
Okay. Yeah, I like that comment. That's probably the way this will unfold, although it was interesting to hear from John Morosi that the Blue Jays were actually in talks, because you always hear rumors, especially when Brian Reynolds announced that he wanted a trade. We as Blue Jays fans know that there is a hole in center field. We know that a lefty or switch hitting bat, which is exactly what Reynolds is, a switch hitter, would be so valuable in this lineup. And we're also aware of how important it is to maintain what little health George Springer still has, and that moving him out of that very stringent center field position to right field would be best for this team going forward. And obviously Reynolds just seems like that perfect fit, but you never know, right? You're not as good as a fit as it could be until you actually hear they're talking with them. You don't know. So it was good to hear that the Blue Jays doing their due diligence. They are in talks with the Pirates. Who knows how far that goes? Who knows if there is a real fit? The thing to remember, and we did talk about this yesterday in the show, is that the Pirates have two very good catching prospects coming up the ranks. They're not really focused on a long-term fix at catcher, which is where the Blue Jays' area of strength is, which doesn't mean a trade can't happen. There are areas where the Blue Jays and the Pirates do fit, something to keep in mind is Santiago Espinal, a incredibly good defender at second base, all-star, by the way, and only making $2.1 million in arbitration this year, or that's the guess, of course, arbitration. You know, if I'm off by, you know, a couple hundred thousand there, here or there, but right around
it's a
that,
few hundred thousand between friends. That's what I always say.
So if you were to go, and I'm just throwing this out there, this is complete speculation. I've heard nothing on this, but Santiago Espinal, you know, they just went out, the Pirates, and picked up Carlos Santana, a veteran presence and still a very, very good player to play first base. You bring in a guy like Espinal, who's going to play every day at second base and shore up that middle infield with O'Neill Cruz, their big young stud, learning and developing at shortstop currently with the Pirates. He's a low-cost option at $2 million. You throw in an Aroldis Martinez, a gentleman who has 30-plus bombs in AA last year. His power is incredible. Yes, his strikeout rate is high. This is typical of a 21-year-old, is bad swing choices, something that Martinez is working on. And really, he does project like a guy who's probably going to get to the big leagues 2 years down the road. So does he fit that window of contention the Pirates are trying to build better than, let's say, a Reynolds? I say he would. And so maybe there is a deal in that sort of ilk that could be made that doesn't touch the catching position with the Blue Jays. And then the Blue Jays still have that area of strength to bolster, let's say, starting pitching, if that is a direction they decide to go. I think Reynolds is a good fit. But if the Pirates aren't interested in what the Blue Jays are offering, it's not happening. And we're going to get into Ricky Tiedemann later on, right? We don't need to.
Yeah, we'll get into Ricky Tiedemann later. Speaking of starting pitching, though, Blue Jays reportedly in on Andrew Heaney.
Right.
How excited does that make you? It's one of the biggest meh burgers I could ever think of.
So I feel as a fifth starter, Andrew Heaney is perfect. I think that it eliminates the need for Yusei Kikuchi to fill that hole. It eliminates the need for Mitch White to fill that hole. Andrew Heaney went from throwing a slider not at all to throwing it over 35% of the time last year with elite swing and miss. The Dodgers got him to drop the curveball. They reduced his changeup use. He basically became a fastball slider guy. Very similar to, let's say, a Robbie Ray, which the Blue Jays do love that fastball slider combination. That's why they went out and got Yusei Kikuchi. He has elite K's and whiff rate. He's got a good walk weight rate. I don't know, man. Like, he is a risky move, and it's a roll of the dice if they can make him work. Last year with the Dodgers, he looked good in 75 innings pitched, but you're pretty sheltered in the Dodgers system, especially considering they were only letting him go through the order twice. You know, they were fine with him pitching only four innings because they've got such a deadly bullpen in LA. I like the move, again, if there is a higher-end pitcher also brought in, if this is a depth move.
Why are we, like, I would just 1,000 times to 1 rather we give Russ Stripling whatever money we are even flirting with Andrew Heaney about? Would you not, like, way rather prefer Ross Stripling? What's the downside with Ross Stripling compared to Andrew Heaney?
Money.
Much more money?
Yeah, Andrew Heaney, I think that they can, it's going to take multiple years, but I think that they can get him at around a $10 million AAV.
Probably. $40 million, 10 years. Sorry.
Great,
man. I can't do this right now. $400 million contract.
I think there's, if the Blue Jays need to go 4 years for Andrew Heaney, I think they walk. That's what I would prefer them to do. I think what's more likely is a 2 year, 25 mil, 3 year, 30 mil, somewhere in that realm.
I do not get excited about Andrew Heaney. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. But no thanks. No thanks at all.
I mean, the optimistic view is he's a poor man's Kevin Gausman. The pessimistic view is he's another Yusei Kikuchi.
Oh, just gross, gross stuff. Gross, gross stuff.
Honestly, right, though, dude, honestly, I do want to reiterate, I love this move if this is to fill the fifth starting role. It means that they're addressing two holes in the starting rotation, and I think Andrew Heaney is a very good fifth starter with a real potential to be as good as a number three pitcher. I just don't want to see them go 4 years on the dude. It's a lot of term for an
unknown. All right. So in Discord as well, Bringer of Wayne, great nickname, by the way.
And he's back. Welcome back, Bringer of Rain, because I know Bringer of Wayne, because I know he after the Blue Jays' tough loss in the playoffs there in the wild card, some of our Discord members went into hibernation. So it's always nice to see them poke their heads back up.
So they said, my wet dream is Stripling plus another starter between the 10 to 15 mil range. There's so many.
Andrew Heaney.
Andrew Heaney, sure. And a lefty bat who can play some outfield DH. Suggests Bellinger, Brantley, Gallo, and a solid reliever. And then trade a catcher and whichever prospects they want for Brian Reynolds. And Mr. Crisper responds with, damn, I didn't know we were sharing wet dreams now. So
this is a pretty accurate representation of the tomfoolery that goes on in our Discord.
Just full shenanigans.
I like that. I like that plan. I mean, I think that's the direction the Blue Jays are going, is that they are going to try and, you know, grab a lefty bat or two, fill an outfield hole, get another bullpen piece and two starters. I mean, I think anything less than that is going to upset us. Sure will upset me.
No. It's pretty accurate. I mean, all we've really done so far is subtract from the team. So there has to be moves coming. I don't even think this is too wet of a dream, to be honest.
No, this is a moist dream, if you will.
Yeah, it's for me, this is just kind of the, I guess, other than the trade of catcher for Brian Reynolds, everything else about this is
spot on.
Kind of a low bar for my expectations.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Let's downgrade wet to damp. It's a damp dream. It's like Bringer of Wayne's damp dream.
Like, maybe it's not Strip. Maybe it's not Ross Stripling, but swap out Ross Stripling for Carlos Rodon. Rodon. Like, there are options that are add two starting pitchers. Again, I still think Bellinger is a great reclamation project. Good fit with us. I still think the catchers need to be resolved. I think that's going to happen. I think it's a matter of when, not what? If. And when? I think hopefully that's soon. So.
It's going to be so weird, dude, if this just happens. Like, you know what I mean when I say that? Like, first move drops and then just a week later, everything is done. Like, because it could go that way. It could be just a flurry. Like, it could be once they get that first domino in place, it's like next, next, next.
Well, that's the nature of the offseason in general, right? Like, we're, I mean, should be encouraged if you are a fan who's bored and frustrated. I mean, it's inevitable that it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, not if. But like, we are seeing Trey Turner has signed, right? Justin Verlander has signed now. These are going to be chain reaction style signings. Like, once it starts to go, right? Like, there's only so many starting pitchers out there. There's only so many shortstops out there. There's only so many trade partners out there, right? Like, if you're Wilson Contreras's agent, he's probably frustrated too that he hasn't heard a legitimate good offer, but you're probably having to calm him down and be like, look, Sean Murphy's on the market. Danny Jansen's on the market. Like, we might just have to wait until these catchers get traded
until you see a legitimate offer from someone,
yeah,
who is starting to panic, and that's when we'll pounce, right? Or it could be the other way around, where the Blue Jays are doing that with Alejandro Kirk and Danny Jansen, right? Where they're like, we just got to wait till Wilson Contreras gets signed, and then we'll go.
Sean Murphy moves, and then we go. Yeah.
All right. It is the calm before the storm, but I think the storm clouds are coming in. So it should be. Honestly, I think the next 48 hours are going to be insane.
Me too. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Last one here today. You know, it's a bit of a shorter mailbag, but I've had a pretty rough morning. So I'm glad we got what we've got out so far. But from Patreon, Matt Finley messaged us last night and said, not sure if this will make it in time for the mailbag, but who do you guys consider untouchable prospects in trade proposals? And also, of those untouchables, is there anyone that you would make them available for? Well, that's not what untouchable means. but sure. Okay, we'll play that game. I mean, I'm going to take Ricky Tiedemann off the board.
Yeah.
For me, he's the only one I can think of. But there are definitely guys that I would make him available for. The first one that comes to mind is Sandy Alcantara. Like, mm-hmm. if that is the price tag for the Marlins is include Ricky Tiedemann, I'm in.
I mean, the Marlins would never do this, but I mean, you'd have to include Tiedemann because Tiedemann, the dream of Tiedemann is that he reaches what Sandy Alcantara is.
Yeah, exactly.
I know there was a tweet from Ben Nicholson Smith. If we want to throw that up here, I'll read it. So friend of the show, Sportsnet's Ben Nicholson Smith tweeted out, heard from one longtime baseball person who sees Ricky Tiedemann as a potential impact arm for the Blue Jays at some point in 2023, which is not something we've heard up until this point. Pitching at age 19 this past season, the left-handed pitcher posted a 2.17 ERA with 117 Ks versus 29 walks and only 39 hits allowed in 78.2 innings pitched, reaching double A. Now, obviously, 19 is young. He's going to be pitching in double A and triple A at 20 years old next year. But the fact that there are legitimate baseball minds and scouts out there who feel he can contribute to this Blue Jays team as early as next year is incredible. One of the reasons why I think that Ricky Tiedemann is the only prospect in this Blue Jays system that is untouchable goes a lot deeper than just how much talent and the potential of this kid. And Adam, you and I have talked about this many times. Look at the amount of money allocated to the starting pitching rotation of this Toronto Blue Jays team. Now, understand that on top of the money that's already there, they're going to go out and they're going to get another pitcher or two, one of them at least, most likely in free agency, which is, of course, going to cost money. So who are your bargain pitchers at this point? It's Alek Manoah, who has term and isn't even ARB eligible for another year. You need these guys in the farm. You need these young prospects who hit so that you can go out and spend big on free agents. So Ricky Tiedemann is so much more valuable for more reasons than just the fact of what he could be. And obviously that's the big dream, is that he could be Alek Manoah. He could be
Nate Pearson.
But he could be Nate Pearson. You never know with these guys. But the money and the term becomes so much more valuable when you need to go out and pay 5 years, $110 million for Kevin Gausman. A deal which, by the way, is looking like the bargain of the century when you look at where this pitching market has hit this year. And let's face it, there's rumors out there the Blue Jays are still in on Carlos Rodon. And if that's the case, we're talking another maybe $160 million to be added to this starting rotation, which makes Tiedemann even more important going forward. So I think other than being able to actually pry like a Sandy Alcantara or getting an Ohtani with an extension, I don't think you move Tiedemann for almost anything. And I'm not a prospect hugger. I live in the now, baby. Give me the proven commodity over the potential every time. But I think that every organization needs one guy where they just truly believe. And I think for the Jays, it's got to be Ricky.
Yeah, I would add maybe not quite to the untouchable list, but I'm really high on Semmelbers.
Yeah, I am high on Sam also. And the more we talk to guys within the system,
his name keeps coming up.
His name keeps coming up, man. And he's 21 also. Like the fact he's hitting 94, 95, like we talked with Zach Britton, who's with the New Hampshire Fisher Cats double A. And he's a top 20 prospect in his own right within this Blue Jays system and moving up the ranks quickly as a left-handed hitter who's got power and plays a good catcher, especially if they move a catcher. You always need those guys coming up the ranks. But he mentioned, like we asked him who impresses him in the Blue Jays system. Yosfer Zulueta, first one he mentioned, Ricky Tiedemann. And then literally in the same breath as Ricky mentioned Sam Robers. Everyone says he's a pitcher. Pitcherish, yeah. I think pitcher-ish is what they call them. Yeah. So
that's it. That's it for me on my list. And yeah, even then, prospects are trade tokens, you know? So
truly. The walk-off community, just a big thank you to everyone out there who continues to view, listen, interact. We truly, truly, a little bit mind-blowing. It's pretty darn cool that we've become such a big part of the baseball world and a part of your world. So thank you very much. You can always reach out on Twitter at Walk-Off Podcast, Instagram, the Walk-Off Podcast, and join Discord. It's always free, and it truly is a happening place. Lots of baseball and Blue Jays talk going on there almost 24/7. We've got people from all over the world, expats and everything. So day or night, stuff is going on in there. All the best, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk-Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! With a drive. Cheese and crackers. Chose to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.